And why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We all know that that's from Acts chapter 22 and verse 16. We have been talking about on Sunday evening how to have a Bible study with somebody and the different tools that you can use in order to have a Bible study. Right now, I'd like to talk about, I'm not happy with how I ended it, in the sense that sometimes there are different situations that you will encounter when it comes to the end of a study. And I've got four responses that you might have by the end of the study that I think it would be good to look at for right now. First off, as Sam has said in the past, around those studies, prayer is an important part of this. So always pray in the study. Always pray for the prospect at home. Keep him in your prayers, him or her. And one thing we ought to do is pray the hardest before the last study, because that last study is, again, as I said on Sunday, where the rubber meets the road. So here are the four typical responses you might have as an outcome to the study. First off, the person might refuse to be baptized. Absolutely refuse. The second one, he might want to be baptized right away. And I use he, it could be a she as well. Might want to be baptized right away. A third possibility, the person is reluctant to be baptized, needing time to think about it. Or the last one, this person wants to be baptized, but also wants to wait a little while. And so we'll look at these briefly, of course, since we don't have a whole lot of time, so that we can look at what our response can be in return. Of course, sometimes you'll encounter those who don't want to be baptized. That we get to the last study and they just absolutely refuse. Well, you know, that's happened to me before, and if you've studied with anyone like that, it's likely it's happened to you too. It is unfortunate, and often they'll fall back on comforting lies that they may tell themselves. Perhaps as long as people are sincere, it doesn't matter what we do or where we worship or how we worship or anything to that extent. Of course, if you've already talked about Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Then remind them of that. But again, sometimes people just won't accept that. One of the things I was taught in school is that if you have an honest heart, you will be converted. And if someone has an honest heart and is willing to look at the scriptures and believes in the scriptures, then they will, if you show them the truth, they will obey the truth. And that's one of the great things about that. These are people who refuse are people that we must shake the dust off of our feet. And that's found in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 14, where Jesus tells his disciples to do that. Some people, they want to be baptized right away. Man, that's what you want. That's what you're looking for. You want people to be baptized right then and there. This is also the outcome that I have experienced the most, in fact. Whenever I've studied with people, it hasn't been a whole lot of people that I've studied using this method anyway. But for the most part, people want to obey the gospel right then. And that's fantastic. That's what we live for. That's what we want. Most people, or many people, I should say, will be reluctant at first. And I'll be honest, that was me. I was reluctant to do so at first. It is a big decision that you just don't want to make lightly. A big decision to change to another church where all your friends and perhaps family, all the ties that you have at that one church, sometimes it's a huge decision for them to make that change, and they've got to think about it. Perhaps their priorities are not in the right place, but perhaps they really need to tie up some loose ends, or perhaps, who knows what they have to do. But keep in mind that sometimes people will be a bit reluctant. I came from a background, here's my reasoning for being reluctant, I came from a background of emotionalism in the church where I was worshiping. Emotionalism played a huge role. I began to recognize this as I was studying with members of the Church of Christ. And as a result, I did not want to act rashly. I didn't want to suddenly change churches because this is because I feel like I need to do this. No, I didn't want to act on emotion. I wanted to act on the truth, coupled with the fact that I'm sure some people would have thought that if I had done this, it was because of a girl. But that was part of it in the sense that we had the Bible study together, but I wasn't going to switch churches because of some girl. I was going to switch churches because that's what I needed to do, because that was the right thing to do. That's why I was going to do that. And I hope more people are like that. So as a result, I waited a few days. I waited a few days. I didn't want to, again, make that rash decision. I wanted to sit and I wanted to think about it for a little bit. But one verse kept nagging at me. And that's what the Word is supposed to do, isn't it? If you're not where you're supposed to be, the Word of God, the Bible, is supposed to nag at you and bother you until you fix it, until you make it right. And that verse is James chapter 4. James chapter 4, I'll start in verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. How quickly our lives can be snuffed out. How quickly such things can happen. And this was particularly real for me because a few years before, one of my classmates was killed in a car accident. A few months before, I myself was in a pretty bad car accident. I was fine. The car was totally messed up. And if I weren't wearing a seatbelt, things would have been a completely different story. But I recognized I'm young, I'm healthy, but death could come at any moment. And boy, was I nervous. That conscience was eating me. This verse was eating me alive. And that was a good thing. That's what we want the Word of God to do to people. My study was on a Thursday. And I thought I would wait until Sunday to decide. Perhaps experience one more worship service with the denomination that I was in. After learning all I had in my Bible studies, I realized I couldn't worship like this anymore. There was a band, there was preaching that maybe was loud, but also did one verse perhaps, a couple verses, and hardly any talk about what that verse meant, just rambling. That's not what we need. That's not what scriptural preaching is. That's not how we ought to worship. There was no partaking of the Lord's Supper. All these kinds of things that we see in the denominational world, my conscience was eating me up. I knew it was wrong. I couldn't escape the conclusions that I had come to with my studies with the members of the Lord's Church. So on April 21st, 2002, about a month after turning 18 and about a month before graduating from high school, I was baptized into Christ. Yeah. My parents weren't happy about it. Especially my mom. She was pretty upset. And of course, they thought it was because of some girl. And of course, being the hothead I wasn't exactly the nicest I could be about it. But whatever the case, I don't want to get into me too much. I've also studied with people who were reluctant, who didn't want to do this at first. There was a gentleman who I studied with in Walterboro whose wife had been converted a while back. And he agreed to study with us, with Victoria and me. We had him over at the house. When we got to the end, he told us that he had to think about it. Now, I don't know what was going on in his mind or in his life that would make him decide one way or another. I didn't know him like I know me. But because of the profound impact that James 4:14 had on me, I share with everyone that I study toward the end of the studies. I share with everyone that verse to help them to realize that you don't know when the time will come. Make the decision as soon as you can, as soon as possible. I shared this with him. I want to share with others the uneasiness that I felt during that time, because only then will that person act. That was the only reason I believe that I acted on April 21st, 2002. With this individual, he did think about it. He thought about it. And I could tell. I could tell because months later, after we had moved away, we had moved to Virginia, he obeyed the gospel. Now, I don't know what specific thing might have helped him with that, but I do know that if we hadn't studied with him, he wouldn't have obeyed the gospel at that moment. And people aren't going to obey it if they don't know it. So that is our job, to share it with people. This was an answer to many prayers. When a prospect has gone through these studies and they don't obey right away, very often all you can do is pray. Pray. The other category would be those who want to be baptized, but they also want to wait. You know, you can't force anyone to obey the gospel. All you can do is impress upon them the immediacy of what that is clear in the New Testament. As I mentioned before, Acts 22:16, and now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. The Philippian jailer, he was baptized immediately, it says, that very hour of the night, he was baptized. And then, of course, James 4:14, you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? They recognized in the New Testament that death could come at any moment. They recognized that in order to please God, they had to be baptized right then. And they were. Now again, you can't force anybody, but you can help them, to remind them of these things. The thing is, you don't want to push too hard. At least, that's my opinion on that. I don't feel like it's good to push too hard because they might refuse altogether. But I do believe in the power of prayer. And I recommend praying for them at the conclusion of the study that the Lord will preserve them until they do obey the gospel. Now, that serves several purposes. One, that is a petition to our Lord that that person will be preserved until they have a chance to obey the gospel. But another thing that that does is it communicates to the person how important you view baptism. And it communicates to them that, hey, you don't know what will happen tomorrow. Perhaps you should do this now. Because tomorrow maybe too late, as some of our songs say. Ultimately, we must continue to pray for them at home as well. Whatever happens, pray. Pray, pray, pray. Because sometimes that's all we can do. This evening, we have a chance for those of you who are in need of obeying the gospel, for those of you who have obeyed and yet have fallen astray and need the prayers of the church, need to make things right with him, you have a chance to do that this evening. Please, if you have a need, come forward as we stand and as we sing.